My text tonight is from the book of Jonah, the prophet Jonah, chapter 3, and I'm reading verse 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. My subject tonight is the city that repented. In 10 verses, we find one of the greatest miracles of the Bible. It stands alone in history. A whole city on its knees. A king coming out of his throne, laying aside his robe, sitting in ashes and covered with sackcloth. If the flood historically washed out everyone except 8, Noah and his family, 8 persons, if at the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah only Lot and his daughters were saved, here is the wonder of God's grace, sparing a repenting city. And as you can see, in sending Jonah into that city, it was all God's initiative. Likewise, it was God's initiative to send the Lord Jesus Christ into this world. Christ, the second person of the Godhead, the Son of the living God, coming into this world, taking upon himself our judgment if we trust in him. Oh, that's grace. That's the gospel. My dear friends, Jonah was God's sign, illustration, and picture to the Ninevite. He brought with him both a message of salvation and a message of judgment. And the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 12 said that the men of Nineveh will be in heaven, and they shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, Christ added, a greater than Jonah is here. Let's look at Jonah. After going through the mighty tempest of the sea, the fish's belly, then vomited out on the dry land, here is Jonah, the so-called runaway prophet, exhausted, but he was recommissioned by God with a message to Nineveh. And as you know, the Bible is covered with many prophecies against Nineveh, especially in the minor prophets. And actually, the prophecy of Nahum is addressed and against the city of Nineveh. I have 4 main headings as we think about the city that repented for the good of our souls. The first is to look at the city of Nineveh and the Ninevites. The second is to look at Jonah's sermon after his own repentance. The third is to look at the people's, the Ninevites' repentance. And fourthly, we shall consider God's compassion to the Ninevite, but also to our world, to every sinner, to each one of us. So let's look at these one by one. The first thing is Nineveh and the Ninevites. And Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian Empire. 4 times in Jonah, in chapter 1, twice in chapter 3, and once in chapter 4, we read that the city was great. It was a great city, a large city. But here in chapter 3, we can also read that the city mattered to God. Its inhabitants were of all spectrum of life, social, economic, and intellectual. The Ninevites, mighty Assyrians, oppressed the known world of their time. They often celebrated with great pomp their supremacy over the world. They were like a war machine, cruel, violent, intrepid, bloodthirsty. They took no prisoners. They slaughtered, skinned, and impaled alive their enemies or cut their nose. They were idolaters, known for their prostitution and many addictions, proud, liars, malefactors, brigands, witchcraft. No wonder that Jonah was reluctant to go to them. But my dear friends, like them, you and me, our world, this world in which we live, this world that has been created by God, we are, by a willful choice, enemies of God, haughty, full of ourselves. Our sin is real. It is deep. It is personal. It is a choice. It is against the Holy God who made us and to whom we are also so ungrateful. What a great ingratitude towards our Maker. So that's about the city and the Ninevites. The second thing is to look at Jonah's sermon. That's from verse 1 to 4. Something amazing is happening. Jonah, a foreign prophet, was sent to a Gentile pagan nation to preach to them the gospel of redeeming grace. And here is his message. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. God gave the word. God gave his word to Jonah, but he also set the calendar. Jonah was not a celebrity preacher. Certainly he was not an entertainer. Maybe people, in their needs and desires and curiosity, would be more interested in his fish story. Tell us, how did you manage 3 days, 3 nights in the fish belly? But his message, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed like Sodom, washed out, becoming ashes, barren, unfruitful. His message was clear and simple. In English, we have 8 words, but the Hebrew actually has only 5. Certainly, with many other words, he remonstrated with them, but only these were recorded for us. Maybe it's my guess or my speculation, these are the only 5 words he learned in the local language, in Assyrian. You and your city are doomed. The warning in his message, my dear friends, is for each one of us. Repent or perish. Repent or you stand before God in judgment. Yet 40 days is God's pronouncement of judgment. It was a period of testing and grace. It sounds urgency. And as you can see in chapter 1, verse 2, and in chapter 3, verse 8, we see God's condemnation of sin. What happened with Nineveh? God says to Jonah, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Their violence, their wickedness, they were unstoppable. Oh, my dear friends, sin is repulsively ugly to God. He must punish it if we ignore him. But thirdly, let's look at the people's repentance, the Ninevites' repentance. We note that from verse 5 to the end, no more Jonah. It's only about salvation. It's only about the sinners. It's only about them to repent and to seek the Lord. Surprise! Surprise! The city, the whole city, every single person took on board the message of God. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. This is the power of the word of God. Who could have guessed it? They were unlikely candidates in our eyes, in our human eyes. But remember, where sin abound, grace abound even more. What happened to them? Verse 5 says, they believed God. Look at the evidences of true penitence before God. What repentance and faith look like? It's all here for our souls, to challenge our souls, for our learning. And we see clearly 7 things that has happened to the Ninevites to show their repentance. The first thing, they believed God, not Jonah. They believed in God, the only God, because there is only one God. All true repentance begins here, because without faith, it is impossible to please God. They became conscious of their sin with full awareness of God's impending judgment. They believed God. The second thing, they proclaimed a fast. Everyone fasted, not to earn, of course, God's favor. That is impossible. They saw the need of their soul. Conversion, my dear friends, means that my soul becomes more important than my belly and my body. The spiritual is more important than the temporal. They fasted not just from food, they fasted also from sin. Even animals were made to fast. O dear friends, how come that a sinner repents with no change in his life? There must be a transformation. There must be a change in the life of a sinner who repents, because God has power to change a person, to give him a new heart, new nature. And thirdly, they humbled themselves. Sackcloth was a sign of humility, of smallness. They were cut to the heart, showing sorrow about their sin as they came under deep conviction. Just imagine our Prime Minister sitting in ashes, covered in sackcloth. They stopped being worried about their look, their makeup, and how would other people think of them. They humbled themselves. They believed in God. They proclaimed a fast. They humbled themselves. Fourthly, it was personal and without exception. From the greatest of them even to the least of them, all have sinned and come short to the glory of God. All have been affected. All are in need of salvation. The great, the rich, the poor, the educated, the eloquent ones, the princes and the peasants, men and women, young and old alike. The gospel is for all people of all nations and kindred and people and tongues. Whoever will, Bible says, let him come. Fifthly, everyone is to turn from his evil way. That's what the king said in verse 8. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. And in verse 10, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. My dear friend, salvation is a matter of turning away from sin and turning to God. To turn means to repent. Repentance was the prerequisite connected with faith. It was not a dilly-dally. In verse 7, the king was turned into an evangelist. He published a decree. He repented and confessed his wicked way and violence and decrees earnest prayer. He put himself in the place of a servant. True repentance means I'm nobody. God is everything. He is holy. I am not. I'm a wretched sinner. Repentance means I'm nothing but dust. Oh Lord, be merciful unto me, a wretched sinner. But sixthly, we see in verse 8, they cried mightily. They prayed earnestly. Everyone as one man, crying out to be healed of the virus of sin and its consequences. Can you imagine it? The regular noise of sinful activities, high street shops and commercials, dealers, traffic jam, the bureau, the change, the tumult, business making, man-made religion gatherings, pubs and bars, restaurants, city gangs, everything stopped to see God. That was the first lockdown in history. It was so urgent that they did not wait for the 40 days. They did not test the Lord by saying, let's wait until the 39th day or even the 40th day. No, the same day they were all brought low on their knees, seeking the Lord, confessing their sins. Seventhly, they stopped being arrogant and presumptuous. That's in verse 9. Who can tell, the king said, if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? The king and his nobles said, we do not know what God will do, but we trust in him. We depend on his grace. They did not presume upon the mercy of God. Really, this verse, who can tell if God will turn and repent that we perish not, is the hope of the gospel, the promise of the gospel to be the power of God unto salvation. Who can tell? They did not know much of God's promises. But today, we have all his revelation. We have his word. We have the Bible, inspired, all-sufficient. It is a lamp at our feet and a light on our path. We know, and we can know, because God says that He will, and He does forgive. We do not know what God is going to do, they said to themselves, yet I am called to repent, because when I do so, God is merciful. I must obey. And the fourth thing, in verse 10, we see God's compassion. And God saw, and he did not destroy them. They heard the word of God, they heard about their doom, and they responded with all the marks of repentance and faith in the Old Testament. You see, God is not all about judgment. He sent the Savior not just for a city, but to the whole world, for God so loved the world. God takes no pleasure in the death of a sinner. What about you and me? Oh, think about it. 40 days, 40 months, 40 years, who knows? Today is the day of salvation. And as you read Jonah, and as you read the whole Bible, there is no mention of a second chance. Jonah did not say to them, do something, and God will do something. No, God has done it. It is God who came to them. The Assyrians show no mercy to no one, but the God preached by Jonah is a merciful God. Oh, who knows, even today, that the Lord will not be gracious to you. Seek Him. Why is your heart still vacillating? Be earnest, intentional, resolute, determined. Christ gave us an inspired interpretation of what Jonah did on that day. The Ninevite repented at the preaching of Jonah. And Christ said in the New Testament, and behold, there is in Christ one greater than Jonah. He gave us endless promises that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, my dear friend, as I close, the kindness and patience of God are meant to lead us to repentance. Christ the Savior, the second person of the Trinity, was punished by God on the cross. He left His throne. He set aside His royal robe. He became a servant. His clothes were taken away from Him. A crown of thorns was put over His head. Nineveh was spared. But God did not spare His Son, His only begotten Son. God turned away His wrath and the threat against sinners who repent. God cannot change. He is not a man. The change is not in God, but in man. You and me must change, because God has no sin to repent from. And by saying that in verse 10, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that He has said that He would do unto them, and He did it not. He speaks our language as a father speaking to his child, with human feelings, with human emotions. God repenting is another way of saying He pities us. God could have destroyed our world with this COVID-19, but out of His grace, He said, let's warn them again. Let's give them another chance. Will they heed? Will they listen? Oh, when it comes to salvation, no more maybes, but it is a done deal when we repent. Christ provided real, sure, and secure salvation to everyone who comes to Him. Come to Him, even now. Will the people of Nineveh witness against our generation at the day of God's judgment? Will they put you to shame on that day? Jonah's message is the same today. We read in Acts chapter 10, verse 43, that all prophets give witness that whosoever believeth on the Lord Jesus Christ shall receive the remission of sin. Who can tell if today is not your day of visitation by God? Faith is to take God at His word. Take Christ at His word. Come to Him. God is willing to withdraw His wrath. God repented when He saw their works. Not because He saw their works, because no one will be saved by good works. The good news is that faith comes by hearing. They heard the word. The good news is that we are saved by grace through faith. The answer of our individual salvation took place at the cross of Calvary, where Christ, the Son of God, paid it all. We deserve to be overthrown, to be destroyed. But God, for Christ's sake, did it not. He suffered at the cross of Calvary for every sinner who trusts in Him. Oh, may it be said of each one of us, He believed God, like the Ninevite. She believed God. Come to Him. Do as the Ninevites did when they heard God's message. Because we read, so the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. Look at it. They believed God. That's the first thing. They proclaimed a fast. The second thing, they humbled themselves. The third, it was a personal and without exception repentance, from the greatest to the smallest. Fifthly, everyone is to turn from his evil way. Sixthly, they cried mightily. They prayed earnestly, seeking for salvation. And seventhly, they stopped being arrogant, proud, and presumptuous. Oh, may the Lord help you to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we seek Thy face. We thank Thee for such a Savior, the only Savior. Oh Lord, we know that Thou will never cast away a sinner who comes to Thee, trembling with awe and fear, trusting in the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, give us faith. Have Thy smile upon us. Forgive us all our sins and trespasses, and save many. Search our hearts and bless each one of us. In the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.